Okay, good evening, everyone. Parshas Bereishis, Tavshin Ayin Tes. Before we begin, I just want to share with you a thought that connects Simchas Torah with Bereishis. That is that 2 days ago on Simchas Torah, we took out three Sefer Torahs, and we read the end of Parshas Bezoi Sabracha. We then read Bereishis, right? The first chapter of Bereishis, and then we did the mafter of Shemini Atzeres. And the question is asked that it would seem to be out of order, in the sense that okay, Parashas Sabracha, that's the ending of the Torah, that goes first. That's the reading of the day. What typically follows after the reading of the day is the mafter, which would be Vayom Hashmini, reading about Shemini Atzeres. The whole idea that we actually read, the whole idea of reading Bereishis is actually a custom. It's not an obligation, it's a custom, it's a minig. And therefore the question is as to why, why are we interrupting the reading of the day with the Sabracha and the Mafter with Bereishis, which is only a custom? Why aren't we doing it in a proper order? Even if you want to do Bereishis, okay, do it after the Mafter. Why are we doing it in between? This was a question that was asked by the Radvaz. And Radvaz gives a very, very fascinating answer. Radvaz says that the reason why we want to start Bereishis right after Vizayi Sabracha is because we want to prevent the Satan, the accusing angel, of having any chance of accusing us of something wrong. Now, if we finish Vizayi Sabracha, the Satan is going to say, look, they finished the Torah, and they're not interested in starting again. And therefore, in order to make sure that he can't claim that about us, we right away, right after finishing the Torah, we start Bereishis. In order to make it very clear that, no, we're not done. Just because we've ended, we're not done. We're never done. We start right away. And this is all done to prevent the Satan from being able to accuse us of such a thing. And I actually think that, you know, if the Satan has the ability to accuse us of doing such a thing, then that really means that this is what we should be doing. We should be starting right away. Even though we've done, we're finished, and we know that we're going to start again. But really, our enthusiasm to start right away after we've done, we shouldn't in any way, even on ourselves, create any kind of feeling, okay, now we're done. No, we're not done. We're never done. We have to start right away. And if we don't make sure that we show it on ourselves how excited, enthusiastic, and how much we realize that we're never done, even when we complete something, we start over again because we're never finished learning. If we don't do that, then that actually gives the Satan the ability to complain against us. And therefore, the practice became that we start off with Vizayi Sabracha, which is this is the time for reading the last parsha. We then immediately start Bereishis to make it very clear that there should be no place for the Satan to be mekatrik, to accuse us of ending and not starting over again. And then we do the Haftarah. The Haftarah that we read on Simchas Torah is actually the Haftarah of the first chapter of Yeshua, which begins after the death of Moshe, and then talks about Yeshua, which we ended Parashat Vizayi Sabracha with the end of Vizayi Sabracha talks about Moshe's death. And therefore, the next thing that we start with the Haftarah that follows is of Yeshua.
Custom to read, this is only Ashkenazi custom, or Sephardic also read immediately?
As far as I know.
It's very common.
As far as I know. I don't know what Sephardic custom is, to be honest with you, but different customs, but this is the practice of Ashkenazim. I don't know if Sephardim do differently, I don't know. Now, there is a question that's really asked about this Haftarah that we're reading. You know, the rule is the Haftarah follows the Maftir. That's the rule. So if let's say you have, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, right? So typically the mafter is a repetition of the end of the parsha, and the haftarah relates to the end of it relates to the parsha. But if let's say your mafter is not the parsha mafter, it's Rosh Chodesh, then what's the haftarah going to be? The haftarah is going to be the haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. The haftarah always follows the mafter. And here it's not following the mafter. The mafter is about Shemini Atzeres. The truth is that yesterday, on the first day of Shemini Atzeres, which it talks about when Shlomi HaMelech, by ending the construction of the first place of Mikdash, the celebration that took place, which took place on Shemini Atzeres, talks about what he did on Shemini Atzeres. I don't know, according to this question, what we should be doing on, if we would follow on Simchas Torah on the second day. If we following them after Shemini Atzeres, will we repeat the same Haftarah? Will we find something else related to Shemini Atzeres? I don't know. But the question is asked, why is the mafter following the parsha, the reading of the parsha, and not following the mafter? It's seemingly following the Zayis HaBracha that ended off with Moshe's death, and next to therefore the Haftarah becomes what follows right after Moshe's death. But the general rule is that you usually do the Haftarah of the mafter. It should be a Haftarah that relates to Shemini Atzeres. So one answer that's given is that well, you know, we call this day Simchas Torah, right? The day is called Simchas Torah. And because the day is called Simchas Torah, therefore, it's only appropriate that the mafter follows the day, so to speak. The day itself, the celebration of the day, the essence of the day is Simchas Torah, the ending of the Torah. And therefore, although typically the mafter, the haftarah would follow the mafter, here the haftarah follows the day, the day's message, the day's essence, which is the ending of the Torah, which ended off at Moshe's death, and therefore the Haftarah follows that. But the Chida brings an answer, and what I'm telling you now is all brought down in the Sefer Geni Halacha. The Chida brings down an answer that the reason why we're starting with Yehoshua is for the same reason as we said before about the Satan. The same way we're concerned about the Satan complaining that if we don't start Bereishis right away, he's going to say, look, the Jews only, once they end the Torah, they're not interested anymore. The Satan is also going to say, you know, they finished the Torah, they finished the five books of the Torah, but when it comes to Navi, they're not interested. I don't know if he means from the point of it's a lesson that we should be learning Navi. Perhaps it can create an impression that we don't care about the words of the Navi if we don't start it right away. But the Chida also says that the point is that if we don't start Nevi'im, right? We did Torah. If we don't start Nevi'im right after that, then again, the Satan's going to say, look, they're only interested in the five books of the Chumash. They're not interested in the words of the Nevi'im, whether it be from the point of studying, whether it be from the point of giving them significance. But the Chida says that's also the reason as to why we do the Haftarah of that continues from Zayis HaBracha instead of the Haftarah that follows the Maftir. A third example of this that Geni Halacha brings down, he brings down a early custom in Kehilai Svarad, in Spanish communities, that after the Haftarah, what did they do? They learned Mishnayos. After the Haftarah, immediately after the Haftarah, they would do some Mishnayos. Hayushayne Mishnayos Maseches Chagiga. They would learn Mishnayos from Maseches Chagiga, the Masechta that relates to Yontif. Right? And their point there again was to connect Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebalpeh. It was meant to connect it. And it could be, now again, it could be the same idea. The idea of, you know, again, we're finishing, we did Torah, and we did Nevi'im. And again, the Satan may say, okay, but they're not interested in Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebalpeh is not their thing, Chas V'Shalom, which you know that Tzedukim held of. So therefore, here too, we have this custom of connecting Torah Shebichsav with Torah Shebalpeh in order to, again, bring out this idea, not to allow the Satan to have any kind of kitchrik, to have any kind of complaining, that we believe and learn and give significance to all the parts of the Torah. Whether it be Torah, Nevi'im, Torah Shebalpeh, we learn it all, we give it all significance. And now we are in the Shabbos Bereishis. And now we will again start over the Torah again with the study of Bereishis, and again showing how, again, this is the larger fulfillment of this idea that we don't want to give any kind of impression that we consider ourselves done with learning, done with reading the Torah, done with studying the Torah. Even when we complete, we start over again. Okay, so let's now turn to page 8.
6? 8.
Take a look at page 8. It says Perek Aleph, chapter 1, Pasuk Chavtas, verse 29. Vayomer Elokim, and Hashem said, Hinei nasati lachem es kol esav zerei azera. Behold, I give you every grass that produces seed, asher al pnei kol ha'aretz, that is over the face of the entire earth, v'eskalo eitz asher bo pri eitz zerei azera, and every tree that has in it the fruit of the tree that produces seed, lachem yela achla, for you it shall be for eating. This is Hashem talking to Adam. He's talking to the first man. L'chol chayatz ha'aretz, and to all the beasts of the land, l'chol oif ha'shamayim, and to all the birds of the heavens, l'chol reimeis ala aretz, and for anything that creeps, that crawls on the ground, asher bo nefesh chai, that has in it a living soul, es kol yerek esev la'achla, all the vegetation of grass to eat, v'hi chein, and it was so. So what we have here is, Hashem is addressing Adam, and he's telling Adam that you will be eating, you have the right to eat every grass, and every fruit, and every vegetable. I give it to you to eat, and to all the beasts of the land, and to all the animals that have a living soul, they eat all the vegetation. So Rashi points out, this is Rashi Chavtes, this is in the second column, the middle of the column, Lochem li'a la'achla, Pasuk Chavtes ends, for you it shall be to eat, u'lechol chayat sa'aretz, and to all the beasts of the earth. Rashi says, Hishva lehem behemais v'chayais lamachol. He equated them, Hishva lehem behemais, Hashem equated to man the animals and the wild animals for eating. He did not permit man and his wife to kill any living thing to eat meat. Rather, all of them will all be eating vegetations. Right? Everything started off as vegetarians. Okay? Now, ukshabo b'nei noyach. But once the sons of Noach came, hiter lahem basar, them he permitted flesh. As it says, kol remes hasher hu chai, anything that creeps on the ground that's living, kierek esev, will be like the vegetation of the ground. Kierek esev sheitarti la'adam harishain, just as the vegetation I permitted for the first man, nasati lahem eskol, you I give everything. You, sons of Noach, after the Mabel, you will be able to have the vegetation, the fruits, the grass, and the animals. So Rashi points out, originally, Adam and Chava were like the animals in the sense of what do they consume, what do they subsist off of? Vegetation. After the flood, and the sons of Noach came, Noach and his sons came out of the ark, it was at that point that Hashem said, not only can you eat vegetation, you could also eat animals. So until that point, man was not allowed to eat animals. Even after Adam was sent out of Gan Eden, and he was living outside the Gan Eden, and the 10 generations until the Mabel were produced, when it came to eating, they were not permitted to eat meat. They could only eat vegetation. After the flood, they were permitted to eat meat. So there's a very interesting thought that I saw in a number of commentaries, that the understanding of what happened here, what's the change? Why was it that before they could only have vegetation, and after the Mabel, after the flood, now they're able to be given, they're allowed to eat animals? What was the change about? And the change was about the fact that man had come to a point that he equated himself to animals. Man saw himself as a more developed animal, but he saw himself as an animal. And when you see yourself as an animal, that means that you then respond to your instincts. And that's all you respond to. It's all about taking care of your instincts, taking care of your needs, taking care of your cravings, your desires. When man sees himself as an animal, then that's his downfall. After the flood, and the world started all over again, man was being shown, get it clear, you're not an animal. You are, as the Pasuk says, you were created, B'Tselem Elokim. You were created in the image of God, which means that you have a neshama, you have a soul. An animal does not have a soul, does not have a neshama. It has what we call a nefesh, it has a living soul, but it doesn't have a neshama. It doesn't have the special soul that a human being has. It doesn't have it. And therefore, it's true. At some point in time, the point was not eating meat. But it's not because you are the same as an animal, or an animal is the same as you. you are a tzelem elikim. You have an neshama. You have to always realize that you're completely different than an animal. You're much higher, much more than an animal. It's true, you have a physical part of you that can act like an animal, but you're a job, but you're really in essence a neshama. You're in essence a soul. And the physical body is there to serve the soul. And the job for you is to actually sanctify your physical body to make it rise above being animalistic. And that it should come together with the neshama, be one with the neshama, be one with the soul. And therefore, after the Mabul, after the flood, after the world had to be restarted all over again, number one that was taught to the children of Noach is, you can eat animals. You are not an animal. And we're going to make that very clear to you by allowing you to consume animals. You can kill animals, you can take its life for your consumption, for your purposes. Because it had to be not, because it was being made very clear right now that a man is not just a smarter animal, a more intellectual animal. A man is a man. A man is primarily his neshama, his soul. And he's got it, and his body is there to be the kli, to be the utensil, to be the cloak, to be the arms of the neshama, so to speak. But a man is not just a more developed animal. A man is not just a mammal. A man is a man. He's a tzelem elokim. He's created in the image of God. He has a neshama. This was the lesson being impressed upon the children of Noach after the flood. Before the flood, man saw himself just like an animal. That was his downfall. After the flood, it had to be made very clear, no, you are not an animal. An animal is not you. Proof being, and I'm going to make it very clear to you that, you can consume an animal. You can kill an animal for your purposes, for your needs. Because you are not an animal. An animal is there to serve you. And you are not just a higher, smarter animal. You are a Tzelem Elokim. You're created in the image of Hashem. And I recently saw a very interesting explanation in following this theme from Rabbi Avraham Jacobowitz. He's a rabbi in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And he has a sefer called Araisei Kshayt. And in it, he suggests something very interesting. He says that how did everything go wrong? It started off because the Nachash convinced Chava to eat from the tree of knowledge. So he makes a very interesting point. He says, Chava listened to the Nachash. Now we know the Nachash, it says the Nachash Haya Arim, he was very smart, he was very cunning, he made a good argument, right? And there's lots of different explanations.
Was he human or an animal?
He was not a human, he was an animal. The Nachash was an animal.
He's
an animal. He was a smart animal, but he was an animal, okay? And he was a pretty smart animal. He was a very smart animal. But at the same time, he was an animal. He didn't have a neshama. He was just like another animal. Just give him a greater intellect.
You're talking about snake?
Snake, yeah. The Nachash, right? So the Nachash, a snake, he was an animal. Now, he made a good argument. But in essence, what Chava should have said to herself was, why am I listening to this animal? He's an animal. He doesn't have a neshama. It's not made by Tzelem Elokim. I'm Tzelem Elokim. I'm made in the image of God. Why am I reckoning with this argument? Even if the argument sounds good, but it's coming from an animal. It's not coming with something with a neshama. It's not coming with something that's great as a human being with a neshama. All right, so he's confusing me. But again, where's the argument coming from? It's coming from an animal. It's coming from something that's completely different than you. It's a completely different lower thing than you. But she reckoned with the animal. She gave the animal the significance to the point that she even allowed her, that she even was convinced by it. Which means that the first downfall, the first step of the downfall that we have as human beings is the fact that we see ourselves and animals too much alike. Too much alike. We see ourselves just as another animal, a smarter animal, a greater animal, a more intellectual animal. But that is a big mistake. That was Chava's mistake. To some level, Chava, in all her greatness, she fell in that, in the sense that she gave the animal too much significance. She equated herself with the animal too much to allow the animal to convince her. And in essence, she should have realized an animal is not a tzelem elokim. An animal is not created in the image of Hashem. An animal does not have a neshama. Why am I even reckoning and listening to this animal? But she didn't, and that was where the downfall began.
But there is nobody smarter than a snake.
She was.
Only?
The snake was the smartest animal. But the snake was not smarter than Adam and Chava.
Eva was smarter.
Yes.
But if it's a smarter wife, he listened.
That's a good question. That's a good question. And there's a question, why did he listen? That's a whole different discussion. What did he think? But the point here is that the starting point should have been, right, that the fact that it's coming from an animal should have already been, so to speak, the red flag that says, why am I even listening to this? Okay. But this is a very interesting lesson. The lesson of the idea that the fact that we started off like that we were equated with animals in the sense of what we could consume, but that actually was something that brought the downfall of man, in the sense that man just saw himself like another animal. And then after the flood, when the world had to start over again, that was the point in which Hashem wanted to make it very, very clear that we are not just smarter animals. We are Tzelem Elokim. We are created in the image of Hashem. Let's take a look now on page 10, which is Perek Beis, chapter 2, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Okay, so the 6 days of creation are done. And now the pasuk says, Vayechulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am. The heaven and the earth were finished and all their hosts. Vayechal Elokim hayom hashvi'i melachto asher asa. On the seventh day, God completed the work which he had done. Vayishpos b'yom hashvi'i, and he rested on the seventh day. Mikol melachto asher asa, from all the work that he had done. Vayivarech Elokim esir mashvi vayikadosh oisai. Hashem blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. Kivei shavas mikol melachtoi, because on it he abstained or he rested from his work. Ashabar Elokim la'asais, that God had created to make. Now Rashi points out the following. Right, if you look at the top Rashi on Beis, the top Rashi in the right column, Vachal Elokim esir mashvi. Literally translated means Hashem finished on the seventh day. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Basar Adam Shenu Yedea Ita V'Regav Tzarech La'isik Mechal Al HaKadosh. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyedea Ita V'Regav Nechles Be'Kachut Asayir V'Ner Ki'ilu Kalabai Bayayim. The problem is that when did Hashem finish creating? On the seventh day or the sixth day? The sixth day, not the seventh day. So therefore, it shouldn't say he finished his work on the seventh day. It should be he finished his work on the sixth day. So the first explanation is that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam knows the exact second when the sixth day is over, and therefore the way Rashi says it is Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu Sheyodea Ita V'Regav, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the exact time. Nichnas Be'Kachut Asayira, he enters into it just a hairbreadth. V'Nira Ke'ilu Kol Ha'Bayayim, it looks as if it finished on that day. Meaning Hashem finished mamash in the very, very last millisecond of the second day. But from our perspective, it's like that would look like the seventh day, because we really can't tell the difference between the two. That's the first explanation of Rashi. The second explanation is Davar Acher. Mahayah Olam Chaser. What was the world missing? Menucha. It was missing menucha. It was missing rest. Ba Shabbos, ba menucha. Shabbos came rest, kol sevening ramalacha. And with that, the work was done. Right, there's a famous saying, "Bo Shabbos b'Menucha." Right, Shabbos comes, everything's at rest. But the way Rashi is bringing this down is Menucha is a form of existence, a form of creation, and that concept or that existence of what we call Menucha, rest, didn't come until the seventh day. The seventh day is when there is such a thing called Menucha, rest. Sounds like we're saying, well, Hashem was very busy for 6 days, right? And if not for Shabbos, right, it just keep going. So now comes Shabbos, comes rest. Oh, now he has this thing called rest. Otherwise, we'd be just be working nonstop, as many people do anyway. But now we have Shabbos, now we have Menucha, now we have a concept of resting. Okay, let me share with you how the Beis Halevi explains this idea. So the Beis Halevi explains, the Beis Halevi starts off saying, basically, his main point is the following, is that we look at Shabbos as the day that Hashem stopped creating. That's how we look at it. So the Beis Halevi, that's not true. The seventh day was not the end of creation. Proof being, we say every day in Davening, right? Where we say, Hamachadish betuvai b'chol yoim tamid maaseh bereishis. Hashem renews constantly every day the creation. That means, says the Beis HaLevi, that every day and every second, Hashem is recreating the world. His will is we are going through creation constantly. If Hashem would decide that the world should not exist, it would poof. But it's more than just poof. We shouldn't look at it as, well, Hashem finished the 6 days of creation, the world is, and now Hashem can decide it isn't, right? I'll cut it off. I'll get rid of it. No. The idea is that every second there is creation. Every second in the true essence of our existence now does not tell us what's going to be in the next second. There's nothing saying that the next second has to happen because of what happened before. There's nothing that says that. It's all about Hashem continuously bringing the world into existence. And therefore, so what's the difference between the first 6 days of creation and what happens now? Very simple. First day, 6 days of the creation, Hashem is creating new things, right? Yesh me'ayin. Things that didn't exist before now came into existence. That's what happened the first 6 days of creation. Every day there was something new. After the sixth day of creation, there is no more anything new. There's nothing new being created. There is no more yesh me'ayin. There's no more bringing into existence what's in existence before. Whatever is in existence, this is there is no more new stuff, so to speak. There's no more new existence. But really there is. Because every day is a new existence. It's just a new existence of the same thing over again. So until the first 6 days of creation is actual, every day there is this new creation. Something new is coming about. Something new that wasn't there before is now coming into existence. Now you're not going to see something new that wasn't there before. Because everything's there. And if you don't see it, it's there. But the point is, though, that everything that's already here is constantly being recreated. And therefore, when we talk about that Hashem rested from his work, Hashem didn't rest from his work means there's no more creation being done. It just means that what the creation that's being done is basically a recreation of everything that was, so to speak, new in the first 6 days. That now continues from now on. And therefore, the whole idea of Bar Shabbos, Bar Menucha, the idea of when Shabbos comes, now rest comes. Again, rest doesn't mean that Hashem isn't creating. Hashem is creating. But so to speak, there's no new creating. There's no new kind of creating. It's the same creating over and over again. Which really means that when we think about Shabbos that Hashem rested, and that when we rest like Hashem rested on Shabbos, it's not about the fact that, you know, again, for us, we have to refrain from activity. Because in essence, from our perspective, we are doing new things. We are being creative, so to speak. So if we're going to be like the Ribbono Shel Olam, who stopped the creative the original creative process, we have to go and actually rest. We have to cease from doing things. But at the end of the day, it's not about resting. It's not about stopping. It's not about stopping. Because nothing really stops. Ribbono Shel Olam is always recreating the world. Our whole existence is always being recreated. But what menucha would mean, this is not what the Beis HaLevi says, this is what I'm adding from something else that I've seen. What menucha means is, and I think this fits with the Beis HaLevi, what menucha means, what rest means on Shabbos means, that everything's in its place. Everything's in order. Everything's in the place where it needs to be. When you get to Shabbos, you have to see that everything that you've done during the week is done. Done doesn't mean it's done. What do you mean? Right after Shabbos, I may have to go back to work. I have to continue what I did before Shabbos. But when you come to Shabbos, the point is everything you've been creating and everything you've been making new and everything you've been doing, it's done. It's in its place. It's in its place. There's nothing more that has to be done. Just like on the seventh day of creation, there was really nothing more new that had to be done. There was nothing new that had to be done by us also. When we come to Shabbos, nothing new, nothing creative needs to be done anymore. Because the same way by the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything was done in its process. Everything that needed to be come into existence came into existence. Everything is set in its place. Everything is in its order. That's what Shabbos is for us. Shabbos is for us is everything that from the past week is in its place. It's in its order. Nothing more new needs to be done. And that is what it means that Hashem rested from his work. But it never. Yeah.
But for Hashem, Shabbos and other days, is there a difference or not?
The difference between, when you say other days, you mean other days of the week?
Yeah.
No.
It means Shabbos only for human beings. There is no Shabbos for Hashem.
No. The Shabbos for Hashem was after the first 6 days of creation, when he was making new things, came day seven, no more new things.
But rest, it means for people to rest or for him?
It doesn't mean for him to rest. He doesn't rest because he's continuing. Beis Halevi says he's continuing. Resting means, by Hashem,
yeah,
it means he's not making new things anymore. Meaning he's not doing things in a way that looks to us.
It means there is no Shabbos for him.
In essence, not. For him. But for us, there is.
No, but yeah.
And when there is for us, he likes that. He celebrates with us too.
Okay, it means little.
Yeah.
Little.
Yeah.
Difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Because I believe we're close to him and he is feeling.
That's right. That's right. But the point is that we use the word rest or stopping, right, in a way that we understand it, that he's not doing anymore. Because it doesn't look like, because again, with this idea that he is recreating, we don't see that. We don't notice that. That's really our challenge in life. Our challenge in life is not to think, well, Hashem created the world and now it's on autopilot. Now it just goes. It doesn't just go. It always exists because Hashem wills it into existence. It's a constant recreation. But to us, it looks like it's staying the same way. So we look at that as Hashem rested, Hashem stopped. From Hashem's point, it means no more new things. We call that resting because from what we see activity, we see things seem to have stopped. Yeah, new things have stopped. But our belief is that it's continuing constantly. Hashem is constantly recreating the world over and over.
Why didn't he do it in one day?